Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't with it. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis, episode 197. We are inching toward that 200 episode goal. Of course, it is your boy Flows with my brother Scott. And as you see, if you're on Patreon, you see. We have a special guest, Chicago Bears beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, Jason Leisure, also co-host of the Sports Adjacent podcast with Russell Dorsey. We're so thankful to have you here, man. It's an honor to finally get you on. Scott told me, you need to ask Jason a long time ago, but I'm glad we were able to have you on now and get to talk about the Bears, man. Welcome to the show.
I was happy to get the invitation, man. I said yes right away. I said yes without even knowing my schedule. I was like, I'm going to figure it out. We'll make it happen one way or another. I'm in.
And you are at the Pro Bowl right now.
I'm sitting in Las Vegas right now. I've been here for a couple of days, got one day left, and then I'll get out of here. I'm not staying for the game. I don't know if anyone needs to stay for the game, really.
And honestly, it seems like what they're doing looks a little bit more fun than watching a half-tackling performance on the Pro Bowl, so I don't blame you at all. Yeah. But for this episode, as you all know, last episode we covered the Eberflus hiring. Special shout-out to J.J. Stankovic, the homie, for coming on and really getting into his understanding of having, you know, been the Colts writer and having experienced it. So now we're going to shift toward Ryan Poles and just how we felt about the hiring. And Scott, start with you in your opinion on what you felt about the Ryan Poles hiring. And Jason, we'll get your just overall opinion, and then we'll go mine, and then we'll just dive deep further.
Well, I remember when the whole process started, and one of my favorite things to do on Twitter is fuck with Bears fans and act like they're experts. And somebody's like, oh, I like this name. And I'm like, y'all don't know these guys. Like, I understand if you probably know some of the coaches, you know, that's basic fan stuff. I was like, y'all don't really know these candidates. So it's like,
You're so right. Because, like, we could all sit here and name 20 coaching candidates, but, like, see if you can make it to three personnel guys.
Exactly.
Like, who possibly knows who Ryan Poles or any of the like number two or number three guy in any personnel department is? You're so right about that, Scott.
Yeah, like nobody knew. So I'm like, so even the names I was hearing, like I really wasn't familiar with any of them. Like I wasn't familiar with Ryan Poles either. And then like once we started getting more information that like he's going to be a finalist, I'm like, let me do some research. So when I went back and did some research and When I first saw Kansas City, you know, as a Bears fan, we still have the Nagy thing. I'm like, oh, you know, might want to stay away from the KC family, you know. But then I saw his history and seen
he's trauma. Been,
exactly. Oh. And, you know, I had seen his history and saw he had been with different regimes in the Kansas City history. And, you know, usually when new GMs or new presidents come in, that don't mean the current staff stays. A lot of them get canned. So the fact that he was there for 13 years, the fact that he's so young and he's moved up the system and he's gotten a promotion every time he's had a new new head there. But the thing that sold me the most is when I heard he's part of the team that evaluated Patrick Mahomes. I was like, okay, you sold me right there. Like this is all you really had to say. So once I started hearing more about that and started looking up other names, I was like, okay, this is something that could make sense. So once it broke, I was like fully on board with it. And, you know, the first thing I said, even before, you know, any hire, I'm like, I'm not going to get, you know, overly excited, but I will say he has a great chance of making me happier, not pissing me off quicker than Ryan Pace did, because as Joe knows, I was probably cool with Pace maybe a month. Now I understand why he did the trade, but I'm a huge Brandon Marshall fan. So when he traded Brandon Marshall, it was not the best way to start with me.
You might have been the first one out on Ryan Pace then. One month in.
I was out.
He was the same way with Matt Nagy. What game was it?
It was against the Rams. The interception off
between Mitch and Goff. This is Mitch's second year, so Nagy's first year.
The game they won?
Was that?
Yeah, they won. Yeah, the game they won, but Mitch threw four picks, Goff threw four. And I was watching it with my homie Lotto and our friend Kev. We was watching it, and I was like, something off about this offense, man. Like I don't know what. And I told Joe,
is he like this in real life? Is he
all
like
all the time?
Like you cross Scott, you're done. Like that's it. There's no coming back.
All the time.
Ryan Pace lasted a month with him. Matt Nagy got what six games.
You know, you just mentioned like the Bears trauma, and Scott's Bears trauma meter is like on 200. Yeah. And when that happened, Scott was like, I don't like it. He texted like, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
He's that's like, how I am with life, though. Anything, like, you know, I always say, like, if I'm your friend, I will be the best friend ever to you. I will look out for you, everything. But if you cross me, it is a very hard road to come.
God doesn't have a forgiving heart. I have a much more forgiving heart.
I bet you do. I bet you do. I got criticized as a writer and as like for columns I wrote being a little too early to be out on Pace when I was writing that they needed to fire him in late 2019. People were like, "Oh, he was the executive of the year, not even a full calendar a year ago." So I was 5 years behind you, Scott.
it was more that I was just such a Brandon Marshall guy, like, and just not even like Brandon Marshall the person, because even when I watch I Am Athlete, he annoys the hell out of me, but like the player Brandon Marshall, I was a huge Brandon Marshall fan, and I was like, he just got the extension too. I remember he just got the extension. I was like, but they traded him, and then he went and had a career year in New York. And so, like, and it just didn't start off well with me. Then the Kevin White pick came. Then we get Leonard Floyd. But where he was absolutely done, can't come back, was April 2017. When Mitchell Trubisky was drafted, you can ask my brother. Now, for anybody who listens to this podcast, who lives or is from Los Angeles or spends any time in Los Angeles, I walked down from La Cienega Boulevard down to Pico. Just no stopping. When that drafted, I was so pissed.
Now, what's a comparable amount like in Chicago?
You know, like off 79th.
Okay.
On 79th and Kent. Let's say 79th and Western, right?
Okay.
So let's just say I walked from 79th and Western, where that Walgreens used to be at, and I walked all the way down to Bogan High School.
Oh, that's a long. Wow.
Exactly.
That's 2 miles.
Yes.
That's only Western, Kenzie, Pulaski.
Yes.
You're just fuming the whole time. I was just walking until you're not angry anymore. And sure enough, it sounds like you're still walking.
Yeah. I was mad. And shout out to my homie, Sean Davis from ESPN. One day he texted me like early in the day. I remember I was work. This is when I worked at Amazon Studios. So, you know, he was like, "Yo, I think they taking that Trubisky kid." And I was like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Like, I don't even know who Trubisky was. I literally didn't know who he was. The 48 hours before, I was like, "Nah, I don't believe that." He said, "I'm telling you, bro. So you don't get mad. I'm telling you right now, they taking Trubisky, man." I stayed at the job because I could watch it in my office. Man, I must cut the light off. I walked out. I was like, I see y'all on Monday, man. Like, I'm done.
So, segueing into Jason, your perspective on the Ryan Poles hiring. Of course, you know, you weren't.
Yeah.
I wasn't covering you. Have been covering longer than me, but you didn't get to see Ryan Pace in its beginning. But you have more years than I do. So, if you can, like, it's really early. And like you said, there's no tried and true method to know how an executive is going to turn out. But what is your opinion so far?
Well, I'm a sucker for this thing that they do in the NFL all the time that a lot of times ends up looking dumb, but this is what I would do too, is I would hire from the good teams. Give me guys from the Patriots and the Saints. Ryan Pace came from the Saints, the Chiefs, but hire from those places. Yeah. And teams do that all the time. And so for that reason, why wouldn't you want Ryan Poles? Why wouldn't you want the number two guy or number three, number two and a half, whatever he would have been considered there? Why wouldn't you want one of the top people in that personnel department who has built that team? Because when you watch them, obviously they got Mahomes right. And so that's a game changer. They will have a chance every year that he's healthy forever. But they have put so many other good players around him. And I don't think I was really thinking about this when I was watching the Chiefs during the playoffs, and I love to watch the Chiefs. It's so much more enjoyable than what I watch for work.
Everybody more enjoyable than all the Lions.
Not everybody.
The Lions.
The Chiefs are really fun. The Chiefs are really, when I watch the Chiefs, I'm like, maybe I do like football. but when I was watching their skill guys in the playoffs, I was thinking like, okay, is this a case of like some of the guys we saw with Peyton Manning and some of the guys we saw with Aaron Rodgers, where it's just the quarterback makes them good. And if you or me was out there playing slot receiver, we'd have 60 catches for 700 yards and 6 touchdowns over season. And I really don't think it is. I think Tariq Hill would be amazing with any team. I think that Kelsey would be amazing with any team. So and that offensive line is really good. So like they've put great pieces in place. Their defense fell off this year, but it's not terrible. And there's plenty there to work with. So I'm looking at the team they've built that Ryan Poles has been a part of, and I'm thinking, yes, Like, bring all of that here. Bring all of it here. And now that whole thing hinges on whether Justin Fields is the guy.
Everybody's job hinges on that.
It does. He's the most. I mean, there was this question in the firing press conference with George McCaskey about, would you consider someone who wasn't a believer in Justin Fields for either of these jobs? And I thought, that's irrelevant. Like, you shouldn't even apply for these jobs if you don't believe in Justin Fields, because he's going to be here. I don't know if you will be, but he's going to be here. Yeah. And if he's going to be the quarterback for 3 years, isn't like Arizona where they had Josh Rosen and there was an exit ramp right away where they could say, hey, we got the number one pick. We want Kyler Murray. He's a no doubter. Let's take it. There's nothing like that here. You are stuck with Justin Fields. I happen to think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that may not be a good thing. I don't know. Like, I would love to sit here and tell you I know Justin Fields is good, but I don't. I think Justin Fields is good. There was too much of a mess last year, and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are chiefly responsible for that mess, to really get a clear view of how good Justin Fields is. And Ryan Poles, in our, like, Joe, you know how at the press conference they had us in the auditorium, and then they had little breakout sessions. In our session, I was pressing Ryan Poles about that, and he admitted that it's cloudy.
Yeah.
It really does. All of the dysfunction and the poor offensive line play and the whole thing with him and Dalton, which is not Dalton's fault. That's a Nagy problem.
Yeah.
That really clouds your view of what you have at quarterback, and that nothing will have a bigger impact on that. He's the most important employee at Hallis Hall. Now, that being said, if he's good, you got to start putting pieces around him. And I think that needs to be priority number one for Ryan Poles. And it should be easy for him as a former offensive lineman to think this way. You have got to put an offensive line out there for Justin Fields this season, period, no matter what. I don't even know, Joe, does it matter if the Bears really like win this season? I don't know if wins are going to matter. I don't know if wins are going to matter that much, but Justin Fields will matter.
Yeah.
And so you better do the right things for Justin Fields. Otherwise, you're going to end up sitting here again at the end of the season saying, I don't know. He might be good. I think he's good, but I don't know if he's good. So that's a really long way of answering your question. Sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
I'll say this, Jason. When you said the wins matter, I'll say it's a two-part answer for me. One, if Justin's good, they're going to win. Two, I don't care about wins, but if Rodgers leaves the division, I think that speeds it up a little bit. Because I'd like, even with Harbaugh, I don't care if they dig Bill Walsh up. If Kirk Cousins is still the coach of the Vikings, I'm not really scared of the Vikings.
I'm never like going to be scared of Kirk Cousins.
Ever. Well, what was that Monday Night Football game this year where the Bears had literally their whole backups and he threw for 87 yards?
Yeah.
Man, both times to win that game.
I was covering the Dolphins when he went when he got the big contract with Minnesota.
Mm.
And I don't remember why this came up, but for whatever reason it did. And in the Dolphins locker room at that time, it was broken into different position groups. And I was in the defensive line area. And somehow this came up. We were talking about Kirk Cousins' contract, and they just could not believe it. They were howling with laughter that somebody paid Kirk Cousins that money. And Kirk Cousins is competent. I mean, he's okay. He's fine. He's been in the league a long time. He's a Pro Bowl alternate this year or whatever. But they were like, give me Kirk Cousins, please. Let's play Kirk Cousins. We would love to see Kirk Cousins on a Sunday. Now, line us up against Tyrod Taylor, and that's kind of a problem because he can do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And Tyrod Taylor isn't thought of at all on the same plane as Kirk Cousins.
No.
But the skill sets, they were like, Tyrod Taylor would be a handful to play against. Kirk Cousins, like, line me up against that all day.
You know, and that's really hilarious because I remember watching Kirk Cousins when he was at Michigan State.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
Michigan State. No, back in the day. And, you know, I thought he was a solid college quarterback, but I never expected him to be, I mean, even as good as he is now. And he's a solid quarterback. And that's really how terrible the Bears are. If you insert his career stats in the Bears, I'm pretty sure he's the all-time leader.
I mean, but Cousins is the exact definition of stats lie. Like, if you look at the stats, you'd be like, Cousins cold. If you look at the stats. He's
never winning a real game for you.
Like, ever.
But, you know, the thing with Ryan Poles, like, in my just real, like, quick, like, estimation of the hiring is that I didn't want to trick myself into believing there was something when I didn't know who he was. You know, I've tried my best to know these names around the league. I'm like, oh, man, that's a young up-and-comer. He's a football genius. And I'm like, but I've heard that before. When Nagy came into the scene, it was he knows offense. He's a quarterback whisperer. And I'm like, okay.
Sidney Reed Jr. Yeah.
Exactly. He is from that tree.
John, I want to cut you off, but the Nagy thing was right under our nose. I remember right when he got hired, I think it was on Waddle and Sylvie, and Sylvie said, does the playoff game against the Titans concern you? And I remember I went back and watched it, like maybe like a week or two after Nagy was hired, and I was like, oh, okay, it's bad, but it's one game.
Yeah.
Like, that game, I went back and watched it at the end of this season. I like, that's every Matt Nagy game I've seen this whole 4 years in that game. And the way the Titans came back and won.
So, yeah, it's kind of something you can't ignore. But for me, when I'm looking like an executive, I just want to see some level of competence. Because the only issue I had, the main issue I had with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy was...
You can just shorten it to Ryan Nagy.
Right, Ryan Nagy.
Ryan Nagy is the mere fact that it made football seem like literal rocket science. And I was like, man, often I thought to myself, could I call a game? Maybe it's just this hard that I couldn't do something like that. But I thought, I don't know. You know, you have at that point Jordan Howard. I'm like, he's a good running back, but I'm not giving him like two bubble screens in a row. That's not going to work. But stuff like that kept happening. I said, okay. Well, then it's time for, you know, Ryan Pace to bring in better people. And he would get some, you know, some gems, so to speak, third and fourth round. But I was like, man, when you miss on the first round, when you miss on the second round, I don't know if you can ignore that. And to Ryan Pohl's credit, getting the skill that he had, you're absolutely right. I mean, Tyreek Hill is one of the fastest humans I've ever seen in my life. On top of that, he can catch. When I was looking at that last second heave from Pat Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, I thought, man, I wouldn't throw to somebody that height, but he jumped high to get that ball. He's super talented. But then, of course, you know who Travis Kelce is. You know how well he is and how much he can play. I mean, I don't know if he'll break Tony Gonzalez's records, but he's at 9,000 right now. So there are very good skill players around that organization. That alone is a cosign for me. But then also Ryan Pace was around the Saints. And like you said, that was the Saints. I'm like, oh, he was doing this with the Saints?
They were a machine. They were a machine.
They were just churning out these good skill players. I'm like, I'm cool with that too. So the jury's still out on them. I like what I heard in press conferences, but I mean, I don't know.
Like we said on last episode, it don't really matter about winning press conferences. But one thing I will say about polls, and I don't know if you guys, if this matters to you, we're talking about press conferences, the recommendations he's been getting. Now, of course, when somebody gets a job, it's like, oh, he's good. But like everybody came out and was saying stuff about it. And then Bill Polian actually had an interview I heard a couple days ago, and he was talking about like just how he was impressed with him. Like everybody, like it's like too many things with Liner, how everybody's just over the top impressed. It wasn't just like, oh, he's good. I'm glad he got the job. He's a nice guy. It wasn't about his personality. Mm-hmm. It was about how he was involved in the process in each one. So that's something that at least makes me optimistic. And like I told Joe, we won't know until we're sitting here maybe 3 years from now, February 2025. We'll either be like, yo, we got it. Like, you know, Flus, Poles, Justin, they're the ones. Or 3 years from now, we like, yo, we're here again.
Yeah, you know, here we are.
Justin isn't
back at the draft.
Yeah. can we trade somebody to get a number one pick? You know, that's what we really got to wait and see to find out.
And the high picks are going to be what determines that really for Poles, Joe, like you were saying. I mean, Poles is going to be judged on the hire of Eberflus and what he does with his draft picks, pretty much. That's pretty much those. If you had to simplify it to anything, that's what it's going to come down to. And Ryan Pace had some really, really, really good draft picks, getting Eddie Jackson, getting Tariq Cohen, Darnell Mooney with like a late fifth round pick. He made some really, really nice late round picks. Most of the time, even when you're finding good players in those rounds, they're just good players. It's those first round picks and second round picks that totally change your franchise. It's Myles Garrett. Like, that's what, now you got a game changer. Or in the Bears' case, Roquan Smith, for example, that's a game changer. That changes everything. When you're blowing those first-round picks on Shaheen and Trubisky and Leonard Floyd, although the Rams seem to have figured out how to
that goes to your point, though. Floyd is a good – if Floyd was drafted when Mooney and then was drafted, it'd be a steal. He's drafted top 10 – you got to be Aaron Donald. Von
and you can't
Miller
be guessing there. You can't be saying, oh, he plays this way at Georgia, we're going to play him this way here.
Right.
You can't be playing games like that with your top 10 picks. When you talk about polls in the press conference and what people are saying about him, I sat in that press conference on Monday trying to play detective basically as a reporter and say, okay, we're in here in a press conference. It's not even a normal press conference. You hear Ryan Poles' kids yelling and screaming off to the side. Like, this is going to be much more of a performance and presentation for these guys than any normal press conference. But what can I discern from these guys just in this time that's going to tell me anything about what they are? And so for Matt Eberflus, I feel like while he's talking, I'm listening in on a business meeting. I'm listening in on like a conference room meeting in an office. And I'm thinking like, that's pretty boring. But on the other hand, like, it's kind of an adult to adult way of relating to players. And that might work here. That might be what the Bears need. With Poles, I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was he sounded and seemed young.
Yeah,
and he is young for a GM. And I don't say that in the sense of like, oh, he's not qualified for this job, because I think he is. But it reminds you that he's a young guy and he is going to probably have a lot to learn about how he wants to operate a department. And if you're going to hire somebody that young, I think you need to be prepared to ride out him figuring things out on the fly. That doesn't make it the wrong hire at all, but it was a reminder of like, hey, this guy's 36 and that's very young for a GM.
Damn, you know, I mean, I'm only 31, but the thought of running an entire team 5 years from now seems daunting. So it's not like I wouldn't be shocked. I don't see daunting. That is daunting. That is daunting to run.
I'm 37. I'm older than Ryan Poles, and that seems, I'm like, wow, I don't know. I don't believe I would be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm 33. I don't even know what the hell I'm eating for dinner tonight. So I can't imagine, you know, running a football team.
And so you mentioned really the most important aspect of him and his entire job. You got Eberflus down, but now it's the draft. And one of the things I always hated about Ryan Poles' philosophy was best player available.
I mean, Ryan Pace.
Sorry.
The Ryan and Matt.
I hate to correct you, but you got to keep them straight. It's a big difference.
How many times is somebody going to mess this up during the season? I think it's going to happen.
I called Ryan Poles Ryan Pace just the other day on a podcast. Yeah. I think it was Monday. I think it was like the first day of his actual. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to do.
One thing that annoyed me about Ryan Pace's philosophy was that best available player. And so Ryan Poles says, we're going to get people that fit our scheme. And I thought that was very simple because Ryan Pace would constantly get players. And I'm like, I don't know if this fits the Bears. I don't know if this makes sense for the Bears. Adam Shaheen was one. I was like, ugh, okay, I guess. If it was seventh round, I would be like, eh, why not?
But yeah, who cares?
Cole Kmet is under surveillance. Cole Kmet is under surveillance.
But
he's 2 years in. You don't know if he's good.
Right, exactly.
And you're probably kind of leaning toward he's just okay.
Right.
That's true.
That's where I'm definitely leaning.
Especially like when it comes to the red zone and it is a one-on-one situation, the first thing I'm thinking, you probably need to put Jimmy Graham on there.
They had to pay a guy $10 million a year to do that job. It's like you kind of have two guys doing one job here.
Exactly. And it's like
a lot of resources going into one job.
You know, shouldn't that be the young player's job? But then it's also that offensive line has to be a priority. You know, when I had that small session interview, it was me, Herb Howard of Biggs, Kevin Fishbane, Adam Johns of the Athletic. And I just asked him about how important is it to have a nasty player on offensive line?
There was a question that Herb asked the lineman over Sam Mustipher last season about having this nastiness when you're playing offensive line. Who is this person that's nasty on the line? He didn't have an answer. And it concerned basically everybody in the media room. But for you as GM, how important is it? Of course, you're not coaching, but you're also organizing this entire roster to bring somebody that's nasty in the offensive line. Right. That has that, you know, that grit. I mean, Chicago has a history of that. Yep. First person that comes to mind is Olin Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, how important is that in your...
It's critical.
Yeah.
Because that sets the tone. Yeah. It sets the tone for your team. I think that gives your quarterback confidence. I talked about this too. It agitates me to see a quarterback get hit and be on the ground, and I watch the five guys in their body language. Do they, like, if I see my guy on the ground, I'm running over there, I'm getting him up, making sure he's clean, ready to go. I don't know if I saw that enough in the tape that I watched, and that's critical. And also to protect your guy, if you see something cheap, something dirty, you need to set the tone that that's not going to happen. Because if you do let it happen once, it's going to happen over and over. Next thing you know, your quarterback's hurt. So that mentality is critical and it's something we need to add.
Because Herb asked that question. I don't know if you remember, Jason. Was it, I want to say it was training camp? He asked Sam Mustipher, who is that nasty player on the line? And Sam Mustipher was like, oh, we're still finding him. And I kind of sat back like,
he's not there.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
He's not there.
You want to have an anchor on the line. And Ryan Pohl said, I watched the tape a few times and Justin got hit. And I didn't see anybody pick him up. And I was like, that's something simple. I was like, that's something simple.
He brought that up with us too. And he seemed like personally offended by it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, you know what? He's like, I didn't see that enough. He's like, that bothers me. Especially, you know, when they brought in the veteran. His name is literally leaving my mind. Jason Peters. It was a few times Justin got hit in his face. He just sort of looked at him and walked away. I didn't see anybody consciously pick him up till Tevin Jenkins played.
I'm not going to tolerate any Jason Peters slander.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's like 45, man. He probably can't even turn around.
Watch yourself. Jason Peters will have your respect, sir. He will have it. And he will have it even if he's still playing when he's 50, Joe.
And I enjoyed talking to him, but I just said, man, okay, why isn't Cody White here? Why isn't James Daniels? It wasn't until Tevin Jenkins started playing that I saw him get picked up for the first time. Mm. I was like, that's annoying. And of course, I don't know if it's something that everybody does. I played lineman when I was in high school. And the coaches always said, your quarterback gets hit, pick him up. That just was something simple. If not, we ran. And I hated running. And that's something very simple that I didn't see on the offensive line. So if you're going into this draft, right now the Bears have solid defensive players, but there also is some issues with their skill players. You know, what's going on?
I want to cut you. I want to tell you what Bill Polis said. It was a great quote. He said, when I was looking at the roster, we looking about how many glue guys, or how many blue chipper guys do you have? He said, when I looked at it, the Bears have about 5 or 6. He said, that's not enough. You need about 10 to 12 to be a legit contender. And I was like, we've been talking about that all season. Like remember how many times we said this season, we can blame Nagy, we can blame Pace, but talent is just as much of an issue here as it is with the coaching and the general.
You do blame Pace for that. That is a Pace problem.
Right. Yeah.
Now the question is how much of the draft, because you only have 5 picks. I'm guessing not picking to the third round.
They don't have a lot of good ones. They have a second round and a third round, I believe, don't they?
Okay.
And so that in itself, that sort of hurts your chances right there.
Somebody
game changer. Yeah. Especially, I think this is a really talented pool of offensive linemen coming in. So if you're the Bears, how much time do you spend on maybe trying to find a gym? First of all, my first pick is a lineman. But you also have to look at what are you going to do with Tevin Jenkins, Larry Borm. I don't know if Larry Borm is the person they're settled on. I haven't seen enough of Tevin Jenkins to know.
We don't know if he's good.
Exactly. And then you have to deal with, I think Sam Mustipher is probably, the center is probably someone they're going to look at immediately. Cody Whitehair, James Daniel, they're okay. But, you know, in you all's opinion, what do you think, what would you do with that position? What do you do when you have these 5 picks? Are you going to split it between 3 linemen or you're going to split it between 3 linemen, 2 skill players, or the opposite?
It's going to be a mix. I think a lot of it is going to be the first pick has to be a draft. Yeah. I mean, the draft has to be a lineman. But I think free agency is probably where they're going to have to do it too, because like we just said, they only have 5 picks and this team has other holes. Like you still need to maybe find you a guy who can line up with Jalen. Now, we don't know what we have in Thomas Graham Jr. because we didn't get to see him play to the last 2-3 games of the season.
Now, is that like that optimistic, false optimism with Bears fans?
Now, I'm not saying he's going to be good. Okay. I'm just saying we haven't seen him. That's what I'm saying. So we don't know if he's going to be. I'm not going to get high off 3 games we saw from him until I get a great body work. So you don't know what you have in him. You need another game-changing wide receiver. As much as I like Darnell Mooney is number 3 on the Bengals or the Rams, or maybe even 4.
Come on.
That's a little harsh.
Okay, so on the
Bengals, I can see. The Bengals, I can see definitely.
Darnell Mooney is an absolutely fine number 2 receiver.
You think he can be a 2?
He's fine.
I don't know if he can be a 2.
He cannot be your best.
Look, in LA, Odell a 2.
That's true.
Well, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago on our show. I think it was Van Jefferson, Tyler Boyd, and who's the number 3 on the Chiefs?
Oh, is it 17? It's not Mecole Hardman, is it?
Is it?
I guess we're not counting.
We don't need to waste time on that. Let's just talk about Tyler Boyd and Van Jefferson. Yeah. Either of those guys walks into Hallis Hall, they're the best receiver on the team. The second
day. Oh, by far. Yeah.
And those are threes. Those are threes on the good team.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that really brings us to
a question for Jason. So do you think so if that threes on them to that you still think Darnell's a two?
Yeah, I think Darnell Mooney is really good. I think he's an ascending player. I think he's going to be good. Like, who could have possibly had good numbers in that offense last year?
That's
and he
also did.
That's true.
And he's just like, he's going to make it. Yeah. You know those guys? Like, you meet those guys and you're like, you're going to make it. Like, okay, I'd say this about Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator. It's not apples to apples. But spending the past year talking to him regularly, this guy's a head coach. Yeah. This guy's a head coach. Guarantee it. Like he will be a defensive coordinator in the league this season, and he will be a head coach before you know it. When you talk to Darnell Mooney, as opposed to like Anthony Miller, for example, when you talk to Darnell Mooney, like this guy's going to make it. This guy will continue to get better. He will do all the right things. Think about how he came in as a fifth round pick out of a small school. And day one, he does everything right. Yeah. He does all the things that they've been sitting there being like, why can't we get Anthony Miller? Anthony Miller is so much more talented than Darnell Mooney, but yeah. Darnell Mooney will do everything right,
yeah.
And Darnell Mooney will continue to work and get better. I would feel good about Darnell Mooney as my number two receiver, but he cannot, Joe. Like this is where you and I kind of meet in the middle. Like he can be a number two, he cannot be your number one.
No,
yeah. You now, cannot. Scott, I'm sorry. Yeah, you were the one that said that, Scott. Like you cannot go into a season with him as your number one.
Now here's a question I have for you because me and Joe, we talk about this. I think me and Joe have been off the Allen Robinson train for a long time. But how do you view Allen Robinson's season? Because I kind of feel like part of it, like he quit, but I also feel like the other part, like that he wasn't the Bears weren't using him the right way. Also, because he went on a podcast, he's talking about how Nagy didn't really help him, how Nagy didn't do a year in Zoom. What would you take on Allen Robinson's year? And do you think there's any chance he might come back now that there's a new regime here? Well, what do you think about that?
I would never believe that Allen Robinson quit. Yeah. I just couldn't get there. I would believe that he was hurt, and I would believe that there was dysfunction with the offense, that it wasn't a good offense, that you got a lot of quarterback issues. Like, take whatever future projections you want to make on Justin Fields out of it. The overall quarterback play this year was terrible. Whether it was him or Dalton or Foles, it was collectively awful. Very hard to be a productive wide receiver when all that's going on. I would think that Allen Robinson is going to be a good player. I age-wise and price-wise, I don't know if he's really right for the Bears. Maybe he will be because his market value will be down a little bit. If I was Allen Robinson, though, I would not want to come back.
Yeah.
I would – he wanted a big deal the last 2 years and didn't get it. I would go take a one-year – deal playing with a really good quarterback and kind of rehab my market value and then try to hit it big after that. But all of this goes back to like a core question for me, Scott, where when you are taking over a team like Ryan Poles is, and it's not a good team, it's a team that really was a 500 team until last year, it really crashed. I don't think the Bears are just a couple of moves away, a couple of quick fixes away from even being a playoff team, let alone actual contending. So I'm okay with Ryan Poles making moves that are much more about 2023 than 2022. If you have, that's where I was talking earlier about maybe wins aren't that important this year if you're building towards something in 2023. But that being said, that you cannot be making those sacrifices at the expense of Justin Fields. You can't do that in his second year when you have to figure out if he's good, when you have to do everything you can to help him be good for the long term. You've got to make the move. You can't be sacrificing in the skill players and on the offensive line. If you want to take some hits defensively because you're trying to shed salaries and you're trying to load up on draft picks to make bigger, better moves in 2023, that I can live with. And if that ends up costing you games, that I can live with. But you cannot shortchange anything around Justin Fields right now. You don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. But you better fake it till you make it. You better treat him.
Right.
You better treat him like he is and plan around him like he is because you really, really need him to be one.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because, I mean, I can't remember how many. There's been, of course, there was Mr. Trubisky.
Oh, you trying to count quarterbacks?
I'm thinking, what selection was Rex Grossman? Was that the first round?
He was like 20th, I want to say. 22nd, something like from
Florida. But
yeah, he was from Florida.
Getting it right has seemed to be the Bears' biggest problem. But I do agree that
no matter who's in charge,
yeah, it has been. And it also, it almost feels like when I said, you know, the Bears make it seem like rocket science, it almost makes it seem like, are the Bears destined to never get into a modern offense?
Well, Brandon Marshall said they stuck in 1955. That's what we said on
they are. Yeah, they are.
Some podcast last week. Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned Kirk Cousins. And the first thing I said, if he was the Bears quarterback, Jason, I saw your face like, you know exactly where I was going. He would be all-time leader on every statistical
category. Trubisky got a couple Bears passing records?
I wouldn't be shocked if he
Trubisky
did.
And Cutler have all the records, yeah. Scott, pretty much. Like, and
that's how Chef I mean,
yeah, future Hall of Famer Jay Cutler and one-time Pro Bowl alternate Mitch Trubisky. That's the bar. That's not a hard bar to clear. We know when we talk about Fields, it's not quite like with Mooney for me, but it's close to that where it's like, this guy's going to figure it out, I think. I just get this sense from him that he's going to do whatever it takes. And you know that he's talented.
Yeah.
And I think I had a bad, bad feeling from the moment he got drafted, not about him, but about the situation he was walking into. Yeah. I mean, imagine him and Mac Jones are flipped. Imagine Mac Jones walks into the Bears. Justin Fields goes to New England. Different feeling. You're like, oh, watch
out. Yeah, I'm thinking Justin's going to take off. Yeah.
But somebody comes to the Bears and you're like, oh, man, he's good. He's really good. He might be the second best quarterback in the entire draft class, but they don't like this. His career should not be handed over to these people. That's going to be a mistake.
Yeah. And it's interesting when it was the preseason game when the Bills were here. And of course, it's just preseason. Doesn't matter. But yeah. Mitch leads a touchdown drive. I was like, you know what? It's interesting. Those were simple throws. Nothing crazy. They know what he can and can't do. I'm pretty sure he was like 6 for 8 on the drive. I said, that's interesting. Of course, he would have never been a franchise quarterback. I think he's just a good career backup. But I was like, it's interesting that they put
him in the career backup at 3. I will never get over that.
You mean at 2?
He wouldn't have made it no matter what. You could have put him on any team and he would not have made it. Yeah. But that being said, the Bears worked against him completely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
he would have been better somewhere else. How can you draft a guy? This is the most confounding thing about that pick. And then I promise I'll let 2017 go. We don't have to keep talking about something that happened 5 years ago. But you sit there and you say, and you're making a lot of projections because he didn't play a lot in college. He didn't do a lot. And you're saying, we really love this guy's athleticism. And then we're going to pair him with a coach who just beats into his head constantly, win from the pocket, win from the pocket, win from the pocket. He can't win from the pocket. Stop telling him that. You know what he can do okay at is running around doing all the things that have made him good his entire career. And he still would not have made it. Let me just say that for the 80th time. He still would not have made it.
Yeah.
But the Bears couldn't have made things harder on him, I don't think. Matt Nagy could not have made things harder on him.
I'm glad you said that because Trubisky Truth is out there who like, I told you. I'm like, no, two things can be right. Like, that's the one thing, not just about this, but with social media in general. Like, two things can be right, people. Like, yes, he got – the short end of the stick, and he's trash. Like, both of those things can't be true.
And you know, when it comes to I'm biased with Justin Fields because I'm a Buckeye fan.
Because you're a Buckeye fan.
Yeah. I've been that way since I was a child.
You brought a tear to your face when Joe Burrow still claimed y'all this week.
Hey, Joe Burrow graduated from the Ohio State. So when he said, oh, yeah, I'm forever a Buckeye, I was like, good, good. Like, I'm literally trying my hardest to find some sort of philosophy program and just get like a certificate
just so you can get you
so I can say I'm a Buckeye.
You're not a fake Buckeyes fan.
Exactly. Just to say that. But
for now you are.
Exactly. But to, you know, when you're a credit, you said this person gets it. That's how I felt about Justin. And it seemed that way with Ryan Poles. My only really issue was that, man, you're young, but he seemed confident. And it's also it's interesting because I don't know if my expectations are low that I think that he did a great job just answering questions. But I was so used to Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace saying nothing. Like, literally. I mean, Jason, you used to try your hardest. Did you ask six times to get the answer to one question?
It's like going into a courtroom and you have to think about the question you want to ask. And it's not always like this with every coach, but some coaches are like this. But with Matt Nagy, you had to think about, how do I phrase this so that it forces him to actually answer it? And you, Joe, like, look at, for example, the difference between him and Eberflus. And this is one of the things where I walked away thinking, like, I think that Eberflus is going to have the right demeanor with these players and the right approach with these guys. Is Eberflus tells us on day one he's not going to be a play caller on defense. He's going to hire a defensive coordinator that he trusts to do that. He's not a defensive coordinator anymore. He's a head coach. And he's going to, on the flip side, be involved in the offense. And he better be, because he, as a defensive coach, nonetheless, he's going to be judged on how the offense and Justin Fields does. That's going to be the biggest factor in whether or not he keeps his job. And he seems ready to be accountable for that. But Matt Nagy, over the last 2 years, both times he gave up play calling, it was just pulling teeth trying to get him to admit it. It was brutal. And it was so, the explanations were so wandering and circular. And Matt Eberflus just comes out and tells you day one, I'm not calling plays. I'm not the defensive coordinator. And so I think that that straightforward, just here's what we're doing. Hope you like it. I think that that approach is going to be a lot better. That's an upgrade.
That's definitely an upgrade. Because, I'm trying to remember what press conference it was. You asked six times for one question, and Matt finally admitted it. And we were like, goodness. I think, Scott, I don't know if that was an away game, but I sat there thinking, why did it take that long to answer? And I've only interviewed Sean Desai. I've only had a question with him maybe once or twice. And it seemed more free-flowing. Like, I hope he does well and wherever he's going. I know he's interviewing with the Raiders.
He was with the Raiders today, I believe.
You know, it's funny because when I first met Jason and I told you I was in school, I think you thought I was getting a bachelor's. I was like, no, I'm getting my master's. Oh, and what? I said, oh, theology, philosophy. You were like, the hell are you doing here? And that's how I felt about Sean Desai. I had no clue he had a doctorate in education. That seems like, man, you could do a lot with this. But to see him be a coach, it came out in the way he approached it. So I'm hoping that I don't know who the Bears' name is, the defensive coordinator. I forgot his
Alan
name.
Williams.
Alan Williams. Yeah. The 4-3 to the 3-4, from the 3-4 to the 4-3. I don't know if it's going to be successful. I used to hate the Bears when they were in the 4-3 toward the latter end of Urlacher's career. I thought, man,
but a lot of them are washed, though. Like, that's why. And now that we know that, what was my man's name, the defensive coordinator?
Alan Williams, yeah.
No, I'm talking about back in 2013.
Ooh.
What was his name? Ooh, he's in Michigan State now.
Oh, you're talking about
Mel Tucker. Now that we know that he was running something that he had no clue about, it makes sense.
And it
makes sense.
When you just mentioned, just worries me. The fact that he had to run something he didn't know about. It's just the Bears as an organization have always just seen.
Well, at least these coaches have run it, though.
Yeah.
Like Alan Williams with him in Indy.
Well, that's really interesting, too. I'm surprised he's been able to bring as many guys as he has.
Yeah. They brought a cornerback coach today, too. Yeah.
Rowe, yeah. And they brought in Borgonzi, the linebackers coach, and Williams now is the defensive coordinator. And their coaches, I wonder what the backstory is on that. I wonder if JJ knows something, because coaches aren't usually allowed to raid the staff that they're leaving like he is. And if you compare that, Matt Eberflus, so he's coming in as a defensive-minded coach, even though he's going to be an overall overarching head coach, a CEO-style head coach. He's bringing in so many of his people to help implement his system. And Matt Nagy, conversely, when he came in, brought no one. He wasn't allowed to bring anyone in. And he hires, Joe, an offensive coordinator in Mark Helfrich that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he'd never even met to run his offense. Like, that's not a good plan. They kept Dave Ragone as the quarterback's coach because they thought that would be some good continuity for Trubisky, which I totally see the logic of that. And I would have been on board with the Bears doing something like that with DeFilippo, because it seemed like him and Fields really did work well together and Fields had a lot of appreciation for him. But that's, again, another guy at a key position that's not part of your scheme and your background. And that, in hindsight, like, should have seen some issues coming with that. Whereas with Eberflus coming in, he's bringing in his guys, his deputies, to help explain everything and make sure things are consistent all the way down the way that he wants to run the defense. And them switching to a 4-3, by the way, I think is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I like that with their personnel. I think Roquan Smith allows you to do basically anything you ever want to do because of his like multifaceted talent. But I think both of your pass rushers are going to prefer to be defensive ends in the 4-3.
Yeah. Quinn Khalil and Mack. Khalil Mack, I think they prefer it.
I think they prefer that. And I think they're going to be better at that. Now, Robert Quinn did all right. He scrapped it together okay in the 3-4. And Mack's been, I think, pretty good since he got to the Bears playing in the 3-4. But I think both those guys are going to be better in the 4-3. And that it's easier to make that change that they're making now than to go the other direction.
Yeah. The only reason I really like we're talking about Bears trauma, is the Packers. The Packers, especially early 2009, 2010, were running that 3-4. And, I mean, they used to send Clay Matthews and line him up, maybe four people on one side, and they would pull out of the blitz and then send the other side. And I was like, man, I really think they should, you know, the 3-4 just seemed to be the scheme to go to. But as time has passed, I see the value in both. But I never did get your opinion, Jason, on drafting. Scott talked, I didn't get yours. If you have these five picks, what do you think the, because you really have holes at wide receiver and lineman. Do you have any ideas to which would be the priority?
No. And it's not five picks to me. It's the second rounder and the third rounder.
True.
That's really it. And maybe you get another third rounder as a comp pick if Allen Robinson leaves because of his salary. But that's one of the issues, man, is that Ryan Pace has left you with a 6-11 team and not a lot of draft picks, not a lot of quality draft picks to try to fix this. I think when you're picking in the second and third round, you just have got to try to find starters. You got to find, and you could find second and third round players who could be starters right away and could be starters for you for 5+ years. But I think that's what you're looking for. And so if you happen to find that at any position of need, which the Bears have a few, you know, if you found a really good wide receiver or offensive lineman or corner or even safety, I think, I'd say the one spot they're probably pretty good at and wouldn't need any help at is defensive tackle. Defensive line. But I think if you can find someone you think is going to be a 5-year starter and instant contributor at any of those picks, you need to take them almost regardless of position.
I agree. Yeah, that because I'm not really sure about free agency. I'm not sure if there's anything or any player that's going to be realistically available that would make drafting easier. Was Godwin's contract up with the Bucks? I'm not sure. Do you know, Scott?
Yeah, it's up. It's up. And that's actually a big first. I was like, nah, you're gonna go back. Brady not there no more. So, but see, the thing is, he's coming off ACL. But then again, we just saw Cam Akers is running like he never even got hurt. So I will probably, it depends on how much he's asking for. But he is a free agent.
I'd start spending on the O-line. I'd start doing that. Yeah. I'd get everybody I could.
Yeah.
There are good quality free agents available on the offensive line, and I would go after those guys right now, right away. And you know, because you need instant fixes there to help Fields. You can't just throw away his season. You maybe can throw away the season at large because you're moving for the future. But like I said earlier, you cannot throw away Justin Fields' season in 2022.
Yeah. Justin is the number one. I think that's, you know, just his presence being there to show me that he's number one. And, you know, I don't, like I said, we don't know how he's going to turn out. I don't know how he's going to turn out. But at least from the stuff that I saw, little flashes I saw, it's not like the Mitch flashes. We like, oh, he threw a pass. Look at it. It went 10 yards. Like, no, he made some throws. Specifically in that Steeler game we was at, where I was like, this kid is different. And this name before, even in college, it's just something about him that I think, I'm not saying he's going to be top five elite. I don't know. That's always a toss up. But I have a really good chance. I think he can be a top 10 quarterback.
I think so. I wouldn't sit here and say, oh, he's going to be a top five. But I also wouldn't sit here and say that he won't.
Yeah, I'm not going to rule it out. Yeah.
He's got the abilities, man.
He definitely got the abilities, man. But I'm just hyped. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you get into a new relationship, right? You know, okay, you're saying the right things right now. You know, everything's going well. And then six months down the line, she throwing wine glasses at you. No, I am not projecting, but I'm just saying. So we got to see. I'm cautiously optimistic about where this is going. So,
did you get some wine glasses thrown at you,
Scott? Oh, yes.
Yes, he has. Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
Are you dodging them like the Matrix? Or
in this apartment I am sitting in right now, I can point to the damage that was. But, yes.
Wow. you guys should do a podcast just on that.
Oh, we've talked about it on some sessions, our other podcasts, which is like our group chat audio version. But
it's basically how you and Russ get to just talk sports and any and everything.
It's way worse.
Oh, yeah, worse.
It's way worse. That's why it's only on the Patreon. Yeah. It's way worse. But, Jason, we appreciate you for joining us, man. It's always good to talk to you, man. You're one of the first people who embraced me when I first started covering team this year, man. So I definitely appreciate you for that. It was you, Kevin Fishman, a couple others. When I got to Vegas, I didn't know nobody up in there.
Yeah, I remember.
First time up in there, man. So I definitely appreciate you for being on. And just, man, it's always great to talk to you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Scott and Joe. I'm glad you guys invited me. I'm glad I could do it. Thank you.
Indeed. So we will catch you all. whenever. We're gonna try to
free agent, but we got some other stuff coming. We might have some. We got some other content ideas coming. But an actual episode of the pod, you know, if there's any free agent stuff that happens, we'll do an emergency pod. But you know, we got some more content coming for y'all. And if you're subscribed to the Patreon, you're watching the video right now. And for those of you who hit me up today, I apologize that there was no summer sessions today, but I was at the Clipper game last night covering. So, you know, we'll be back. It was a great game. And by the way, that Nicki Minaj thing was terrible. They literally stopped the game in the middle of the game. I was like, what are we doing? what are we doing here? But,
we like to thank Jason. Yeah. Sometimes beat writer at @sports_Jason on Twitter. Am I correct? That is the at?
@sports_Jason. Yeah, that was the best we could get. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. And so at Jason Leisure on Twitter as well. Thank you for coming here, brother. We really appreciate it. And we will catch you all when we figure out when we're going to do the next one.